planning to do things a little bit different. It's probably already been a little bit different, but that's okay. You know, one of the things I really love about high holy holidays is they bring families together. They really do. And that's a good positive thing. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with more of our church family after church, because our biological family is not in Mahaffey, but that's okay. They'll have their celebration, they'll have their time, and we'll get together again. But in the past, I have talked about Resurrection Sunday, and some people use the pagan term Easter. But I've put out the truth of the resurrection. I have talked about the fulfillment and the prophecies and all these other technical terms of the resurrection. And my intention for all these years of presenting the Resurrection Sunday in different ways is so that maybe you will get a grasp on how big this really is. The ever-ready bunny has nothing on us. Nothing. This morning, what has touched my heart and what has motivated me for today is centered around a song that we're going to share. I'm going to have it on. And if you know it, it's called Death Was Arrested. Wonderful song. Pastor Brett shared that with us a while back as a special song, and it didn't grab me that time. But, you know, what did that professor say? Repetition will penetrate the dullest of minds. So I heard it again, and all of a sudden, God got my attention. And he does that. Anybody else can relate to that? But anyway, I thought, Easter, what a time for me to share my testimony. Because the truth of the resurrected Christ is what saved me. And there are a couple of verses, and I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm also going to look at Romans chapter 5 and other things. And I want you to get a feel, and maybe you can relate and maybe you can't, but get a feel for the importance and the impact and the importance of the risen Savior. It saved my life. It saved my life. You see, if you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 19, you will find a phrase in there: by one man's disobedience, we became sinners. And I'm scratching my head, and he's talking about Adam and Eve, and he's implicating the man. Everybody implicates the woman, don't they? Ha! He's probably talking about mankind, right? We can keep implicating the woman. Right, men? Right, men? Come on. Come on, back me up. It's kind of the man's fault anyway, because he was supposed to watch out for
it. Amen.
We'll get this going, won't we? Huh? But in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, it stated very clearly, by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. All became sinners, in fact. Me too. Okay? And, you know, you go to different passages in both the Old and the New Testament. Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Wait, they're not talking about me, are they? Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. That was the state I was in before Christ. Romans goes on in 3:23, and some of you wanna kids might know this. I know you know that one. What does it say? For, come on, help me out. For dad has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Yeah, okay. Oh, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We won't blame it on you, Andy. All have sinned. There's not a one of us who weren't in a desperate situation spiritually. Jesus echoes all these things in the Gospels, but God was saying that because of that one disobedience, we all fall under the curse of sin. And as I look back in my life, I used to put my trust in all kinds of things. And I'm not looking for pity or anything, but I grew up as a welfare child, a single parent. My mom tried to raise me. tried. No, she did a pretty good job. She pointed us in the right direction. But I grew up as a child. I didn't understand, I didn't even begin to understand the term father, because my father left before I was born. And when we finally tracked him down, he died as a skid row bum in a halfway house. He committed suicide. So that's his legacy to me. But that is where you will go spiritually, if not physically, if you don't understand the risen Savior. I am so thankful that I was heading down that road. My heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I was following all kinds of junk. There was no joy. And it was never going to save me. Statistically, I should be dead or in prison by the time I'm 35. You know what? I've broken the 60 mark now. But it's only because of Jesus. Amen. It's only because of Jesus. I believe that many in churches today don't understand why they're even in church. My mom used to make me go, Robert. Did she make you go?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I went and I participated in many religious things. I saw the world and I saw the hurt. And believe me, the things of this world are cruel. Satan is unrelenting. He deceives us constantly, makes us believe something is good when it really isn't. Kind of reminds me, and I don't take this wrong, I hardly ever sit down and watch a movie, but my wife and I sat down and watched Raiders of the Lost Ark just this past week. I don't even know why. But what an image that's left. When they lift that up, the first thing that comes out was a beautiful woman that quickly turns into the ravenous devil. That's the things of this world. I mean, I used to love to use all kinds of tobacco and booze and drugs and stuff. I used to love to get high. That was cool, man. Okay, that ages me, that phrase, didn't it? Some of you younger people don't understand that. How it was, farmed out and greasy. Well, far out and groovy is what it's supposed to be. You don't understand that. All right, I better get back into the 21st century, right, Pastor Brett? Stay here? Okay. But Satan kept on deceiving me. It was great when I was overseas in the Navy. I bought cigarettes for $1.10 a carton. I could smoke all I want. And pretty soon I'm going, I can't breathe too well. The deception of Satan. Oh, I'll just drink another fifth or quart or 12 or case or whatever, and maybe I'll remember. Maybe I won't. Who cares? Just give me another one, right? Want another one? Huh? I know how that's at. Yeah. Yeah, all that was cool. That was really good, man. And then they started scraping me off the floors. And then all of a sudden, I don't even want to live. I had no desire, because for those who remain in that first part of Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for by one man we became sinners. Satan began to rule and reign in a lot of ways, and we don't understand that. I don't know why God lets him have his way. I do know that his end is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. But he has been trying to deceive people for all of time. And he does a pretty good job of it. And he deceived me for years and years and years. And I am so grateful that my family prayed fervently for at least 7 years. For some, it takes longer. For some, it doesn't take long at all. To realize the death and destruction that the ways of Satan has paved for us. But then you go to that last part of verse 19 of Romans chapter 5, and it says, but by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. And that's what today is all about. That's what today is all about. That one man's obedience is who? Jesus. It is because of Jesus who took on the form of man. And I cannot explain the exact way that Jesus was fully God and fully man when he was on earth. I can't explain that. It's beyond my comprehension, yours too. And if somebody says they know how to explain it, I want to sit down with them. I really do. But that isn't what God wants us to know. He says, I will send you my Messiah, and he will be born of a virgin because it has to be pure and whole and holy in my sight. And so Jesus became the perfect God-man that went to that cross to arrest the sin in my life, and he did it for all of you too. By one man's obedience, many are made righteous. My remorse is that too many people don't know the implications of the cross. They keep living in their bondage of sin. What is an arrest stand? I mean, what goes on during an arrest? It means something is wrong, right? That there is a standard. There are a set of parameters. There are laws, right, that were broken. Satan has broken every law of God. And he loves it. Too many people let the door open and let him out to rule and to reign in their lives. But Jesus, who has the keys to life and death, has arrested Satan because of the cross. And that arrest is because he's wrong and Jesus is right. I know, Barabbas was released and Jesus was executed, right? That was not really what happens in the spiritual realm. It's what happened to fulfill all of God's promises. But in the real realm, that if we accept Jesus as a personal Savior, he arrests sin, and all of a sudden we can live in a way that is above our humanity, above the world, above sin, above that destruction. He can free us, but we won't have him arrested in our lives, will we? We like a little gossip. We like a little sin. We like a little bit of the bad part, right? Yeah. And so we won't call Jesus on Satan in our lives, will we? We'll keep letting Satan chew away and steal. And that's what he does. He steals and he kills. He destroys. And you know what? If he can't keep you from the Savior, he will try to destroy your testimony. Amen. And too many even believers will just let him keep going. And I did for years and years and years. And I believed the falsehood, the April Fool's, was on me because I was wrong. But by one man's obedience, I became righteous in the sight of God. And I didn't deserve it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you're saved through faith. That grace is that special favor that God pours out and allows for anybody to come to him. Anybody. There's nobody that is breathing that can't come to Christ and receive his healing. But he wants to take that Satan or that devil or whatever is tormenting you, and he wants to arrest him. Arresting means they put him in confinement, away and out of society, keeping him from us. Jesus is the only one true Messiah that can do that, that can take Satan away and confine him forever and ever and ever. Jesus came to arrest sin, to put him away, to lock him up, and he will be locked up for an eternity. When I came to realize the truth of the words in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that he bore my burdens on himself on the tree, when the truth of that began to sink in, I no longer had to be confined myself with the burden of sin. And Jesus is holding out his hand and saying, I want to lift your burden of sin. I want to free you. I want to confine that evil one that is dogging you. I want to get rid of him. But you have to believe and by faith accept him and receive him. Many reject that truth. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, beginning in verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Can't get that out. My tongue gets all tangled up sometimes. Ever happened to you? Yeah? Oh, tongue gets tangled up. I get it. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 are describing for those who believe their position that they have in Christ. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, this is what's true about you and me. If you're not a born-again believer in Jesus, then, sorry, it doesn't apply to you. You're still walking in your sin. You're still lost. But it says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that's Satan, by the way, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's bygone days for the believer. God is trying to remind us that that's where we were. That's where he saved us from. How many here can you remember where you were at? I think it's important for us to remember pre-salvation days. Can you remember? Can you remember some of those pre-salvation days? I'm glad they're gone. I've been forgiven. My burdens have been taken off my shoulders. The risen Savior is the one who does that. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of their flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh. These are the mechanisms that get us to destruction, okay? We were all in this at one point in time. Indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God! You understand? But God! That's where we would be. That's where people die every day, in the destruction of Satan. And we don't have to be there. And I'm so grateful to Jesus, I have been redeemed. Amen. But God! Has God intervened in your life? Has God set you free? Have you allowed him to wrest the demons and the devils that are dogging your life? He wants to set you free. And that's what today is all about. We believers, we're free. Woo! I know. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to get excited about that. Once again, I was at a hallelujah celebration. I was at a real Passover. I was at a baptism, and I'm pumped.
Praise God.
Because those are true things about the reality of God and faith in Jesus Christ. The world and everything else has given you the April Fool. I love that first verse. I'm going to find it real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Maybe some of you know that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You're pretty fast, aren't you, Josh? Good job. Thank you. He's just checking to see if I'm telling you the truth, right? You ought to too, all of you. Because of Jesus, I am not condemned. I am set free. And that is why I am so thrilled. That is why I celebrate. That is why I can have a smile on my face, a spring in my step, and joy in my heart, even when the world is caving in. Because of the reality of the risen Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now nothing, neither height nor depth, nor powers or principalities can separate us from the love of God if you are really a born-again believer. Some are just by, what's that? We have rhinos, right? Republicans in name only, right? Well, we have Crinos, right? Christians in name only. And then they wonder why it doesn't make any difference. The difference comes when the risen Savior is your reality. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, and you can boot up that YouTube video here. Even when we were dead in our transgressions and our sin. He made us alive together in Christ. For it's by his grace we have been saved. We have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For me, today is the pinnacle, it's the paramount day, if you will, in my life. God proved he was God. Jesus proved he was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Amen. Death can't keep him in the ground. I love the song. But we as individuals have to choose Jesus. Jesus is a very polite God. He will not impose upon us anything we don't want. And so if you want the joy, if you want the freedom, if you want the separation from sin, this can also be your day of celebration. For some of us, we're already there. Our hearts are filled with joy. We know the truth of the resurrected Christ, and we are trying. We're not perfect, but we are trying our level best from day to day to walk closer and closer to him. And then he arrests those demons and devils, and he sets us free. This song describes it. Singing along with it if you like. And maybe you can relate. This is my song today, but I'll share it with you, okay?
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began.
Thank you.
us rejoiced as though heaven had no.
But no! No! No!
Can only imagine what it's going to be like in heaven, because this dwarfs the celebration. And I just wonder, maybe there's somebody out there that can't share that same adulation and thrill. God is wanting to arrest those demons and the devil in your life and give you freedom once again. That's what today is all about. Yes. He will set you free. Jesus. Jesus says, I will set you free and you will be free indeed. So as we leave this place, make it about Jesus. And celebrate his provision. And if you're a believer, born again believer, celebrate the freedom in Christ. If you're not a born-again believer, you need to come up here right now and receive him. If you're not a born-again believer, you need to get in touch with the one who can make the difference. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, come on up. And for the rest of us, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Grant us health and strength until we meet again. Give us a smile on our face, joy in our hearts, and a spring in our step, so that the world will know that you are Lord and you've been set free. Yes. So go in the grace of our Lord. But don't leave if you're not a believer, because God wants to set you free. Come on down if you're looking for freedom. Come on down if you want to be saved. That's what today is all about. Maybe you don't understand that. Well, go in the grace of our Lord. And I'm just going to keep praying that God will bring those who are not saved to a point of salvation. Because there's no greater way to live than freedom in Christ. You are dismissed.